like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
This is a dog. All right, good morning. This is Talking Animals. My guest today is Nikki McQueen, Vice President of Anderson McQueen Funeral Homes and Cremation Tribute Center, where among her duties, she serves as a pet funeral director. In that capacity, McQueen will be featured speaker on a forum Saturday at Stetson College of Law Center in Tampa, pegged to National Pet Memorial Day, which is marked this Sunday, September 8th. We'll speak with Nikki McQueen presently. Also, later in the show, we'll have a brief chat with Matt Ellerbeck, a salamander advocate and conservationist and past guest on Talking Animals, who wants to urge us to take a simple step to protect some salamander species, mindful of a ticking clock to do so. And near the end of the program, we'll hear an unreleased tune by Neil Finn of Split Ends and Crowded House fame, a poignant song that directly relates to our discussion with Nikki McQueen about losing a beloved animal. Indeed, let's get to that discussion with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Nikki McQueen to Talking Animals. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, Duncan.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, in studio, no less. Always excited when someone's across from me and there's eye contact and normal conversational things. Yay.
Thank you.
So maybe we could start with you providing a bit of an overview of Anderson McQueen. Just outline, if you would, briefly its history, which I gather extends back many years.
Yes, sir. My father-in-law began Anderson McQueen with his partner, John Anderson. My father-in-law was Bill McQueen back in 1952. We are honored to be beginning our 61st year serving the Tampa Bay area. There became a time when families who had trusted their family members with us began asking us questions like, well, now my dog's passed or my cat's passed. Can you cremate Fluffy for me? And at that time, we could not. And as the requests became more frequent, in 2006 is when we opened our pet crematory, which is called Pet Passages by Anderson McQueen, and we began offering that to the families of Pinellas County.
Let me, before we'll come back, obviously, and really fully explore the whole pets services side of Anderson McQueen and some of the related topics on the forum the Saturday. What ways would you say, just generally, Anderson McQueen and maybe its counterparts changed or evolved over the years? I mean, what sort of things kind of mark the general things of funeral homes and how they operate in recent years?
In funeral service, over the 61 years that we've been in business, especially here in Florida, we have a high cremation rate. And that has transitioned. Typically, families had the burial process, they had the viewings, the funeral service. Now, with a lot more people moving to the area, they don't have their family here. Sometimes they think to themselves, oh, just go ahead and cremate me. And with that happening, I don't know if I'm transitioning off subject here. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's what I was asking about. Yeah, yeah.
Well, with that, they do lose part of the grieving process there. When they don't have the visitation, they don't have the services, they don't give their friends, family, the community a nice, safe place to come out and pay their respects. Mm. And what we have found with the human side and with the pet side, with that loss, people prolong their grief, which is something we're going to be touching on this Saturday.
Sure.
With Pet Passages by Anderson McQueen, what we like to offer our families is an opportunity to say goodbye to their pets. It's included with the cremation. There's no additional charge for that feature. But we have rainbow bridge rooms, and the families are able to come in if they so choose, and we will have the pet there in the room. We have a nice little pet bed for them, and there's candles, a little waterfall. And it is a pet-friendly room. So say if a pet's not doing well and the pet parents know that they're going to have to end up euthanizing the pet. Typically what would happen in the past is mom would take the kids to school, dad would take the pet to the vet, the kids would come home, and there's no longer a dog or a cat in the family.
Mm-hmm.
This gives them the opportunity that we can go to the veterinary office, we bring the pet into our care, and mom can then bring the animal, sometimes animals.
Right.
Yeah. Mom can bring the children to our Rainbow Bridge room and have the opportunity for them to say one last goodbye. Mm. It's also, like I said, pet friendly. So other animals in the home, they need an opportunity to see that pet is no longer with us.
Right.
So they can bring those other pets into our funeral home to say goodbye also.
So if I follow you, Nikki, then this is not only coordinated, of course, with the pet parents, as you say, but also it sounds like with the veterinarian in question, right? To make this all kind of work out timing-wise and otherwise in a way that makes sense for all parties.
We have a number of vets that we work with, and we go to their offices on a daily basis to bring those animals into our care. And so the pet families at that time choose, I want to pick up the urn of my cat or my dog back from my veterinarian, or I want to come to the funeral home and pick it up. At that time, they also choose, I want to have a chance to say goodbye. And that's when they can come in and use the Rainbow Bridge room. As I stated, no additional charge.
Mm-hmm.
We have some families that also want to witness the cremation because they'll say, how do I know I'm getting my pet back?
Mm-hmm.
And they hear horror stories,
yeah,
and they're worried about that.
Sure.
We like to alleviate that fear, and they can, if they wish, come in and witness the cremation. We have families that actually come in to witness the cremation. They stay through the cremation process, and they take their pet's ashes home with them that day.
Wow.
And there's a feeling of knowledge that they are receiving.
Right, no uncertainty.
Right.
Let's back up for just one moment. So when you said that Anderson McQueen introduced the pet services in 2006,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And what was the impetus at that point? I mean, you and others perhaps were animal lovers and just felt like, hey, this is something that's important for people and just something to kind of expand our offerings as a people that work in this kind of industry? Or
what we found is the families that we serve, they were coming to us and asking for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Anderson McQueen has always tried to be very progressive in our field. Sometimes you find with funeral homes, they're stuck in the past. My husband's a great leader of our firm, John McQueen, and he's always looked to the future. His joke is, I don't have a box, or my box is glass. You know, he is always looking to what we can do to serve our families in ways that people have not thought of before. So he went out along with his brother, looked at what some other firms were beginning to look into, and we were one of the first to bring this offering into funeral homes.
Wow, interesting. All right, well, so this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Nikki McQueen of Anderson McQueen Funeral Homes, who in her capacity as a pet funeral director, I guess, among other things.
Pet professional.
Pet professional, okay. We'll be speaking on a forum this Saturday at Stetson College of Law in Tampa, tied to National Pet Memorial Day. If you'd like to ask Nikki a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email dj@wmnf.org. So Nikki, so far from what you've said, it sounds like what chiefly happens is cremating the pets. Are there other pet services that you guys offer as well?
Yes, sir. Typically with the families we're honored to serve around 3,500 pet families a year.
Wow.
At our location.
Mm-hmm.
And less than 10% of those, I would say, go with any other form besides cremation.
Mm.
Over 90% choose cremation. There are some pet cemeteries in Pinellas County. Some families do choose that to actually have a service,
mm-hmm,
casket and bury their pet.
Yeah.
And some other families have chosen options such as similar to taxidermy. But the most popular option that we have that people choose is the pet cremation.
Yeah. Do you find that is there predominantly one kind of animal versus another? Is it pretty evenly divided between cats and dogs, let's say, in terms of the services that are asked of you?
Cats and dogs are the most popular pets that we handle for,
mm-hmm,
families.
Yeah.
But we have had rabbits, snakes, we've had everything, birds, parrots.
And in terms of the cats and dogs, is it pretty even numbers between those two?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, and thinking about our conversation this morning beforehand, I think there's a lot of people who probably so far, although it sounds like large numbers are coming to you and have for some years, have not maybe tended to engage the services of a funeral home for their pets. So, you know, I'm just curious, like, what sort of shift, if any, you've seen since you introduced this in 2006, either in terms of just awareness or how people's attitudes about it? For example, I mean, a lot of people, I think, well, again, probably depending partly at least on the animal, but are more accustomed to maybe burying that family pet in the backyard. So any sense of how that stacks up in terms of just numbers of animals, you know, pets that die that would come to you or a counterpart to you versus people who would still kind of would be more sort of traditional backyard burials?
I don't have a lot of exposure to the ones who are choosing burial in their backyard, because
right.
obviously if they've called us, they've chosen to go with the cremation.
Sure. I just wondered if there was any kind of industry statistics or anything else that would sort of quantify that, even if it was hard to quantify right. precisely.
I not that I'm aware of right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So let's just say that just for the purpose of again, people who may be sort of hearing about this idea for the first time or just might just, again, used to the old school way. So maybe I'll just offer, you know, a little bit of a hypothetical. So okay. Let's say that one of our cats, older, that's been part of the family for many years, dies or is about to die, maybe in the situation you described, and we're sort of heartbroken about it, of course. So we contact Anderson McQueen. So sort of take us through the process. I mean, what happens, for example, in my very first call to you when I describe kind of what I just described in that hypothetical. What do you say and what happens from there?
Well, first, Duncan, I'd offer my condolences on the loss of your pet, because we do understand that pets are family too. And at Anderson McQueen and Pet Passages by Anderson McQueen, we treat them that way. So we would offer our condolences and then go over, typically the families wonder how much it's going to cost. They're worried about, they may have just spent a lot of money on veterinary bills trying to keep this pet alive. So cost is always a concern. So we go over our pricing with them. We explain what they'll be receiving back.
And sorry to interrupt, Nucky, okay. but just in that case, we probably can't really get into specific prices, but are there different ways for people to go depending on what their budget really allows? Again, maybe because they have spent a lot just at the vet or just generally maybe money might be tight.
We have it broken down according to weight. So there is, mm-hmm. You know, if it's a pocket pet, which is less than a pound, it's mm-hmm. $99. If it's from 1 pound to 50 pounds, it's $149. 51 to 100 is $199, and anything above is $249.
Okay.
And with that, they do receive back their pet in a wood urn. We do have our secure tracking, which is every pet that comes into our care is identified with a metal disc in its own individual number. That number we give to the family right up front. When they receive back their pet's ashes, that number they will find affixed inside to the bag that holds the cremated remains. So we offer that as an additional peace of mind option for them. Every family receives back. Well, I shouldn't tell some of this. It's supposed to be surprises, but we
right.
give them a
ring. Well, don't give away the surprise if you don't want to. Yeah. But it sounds like there's a real process, and really the only variables it sounds like are the weight, really.
The weight, the size of the pet.
So it kind of just, you know, if they want to have the cat or dog cremated, that's what it is based on how much they weigh, and there's not other factors that would go into what it could cost or how that would work.
And could I share a personal experience?
Please, by okay. all means, yeah.
You were talking about, you know, basically it was more the business end of when a pet dies. Our own personal experience, a few years back, our cat died while we were away on vacation. And so my dad called us and told us, and I said, well, will you bring Tinky over to our care center and, you know, put her into the refrigeration unit? So while we're still out of town before we're coming back, our children were saying, well, maybe it wasn't Tinky. And one thing I try to explain to people is our brains have a way of protecting us.
Sure.
And when a family member dies, whether it's a pet or it's a human, your brain actually does need to see that person one last time for it to allow you to say, yes, this is real. So our children kept saying, I don't think it was Tinky. I said, it was Tinky. Well, we brought the children to the Rainbow Bridge Room. They were able to see her one last time. They were able to pat her one last time. They were able to cry and to grieve for her. And then it was okay to go ahead and cremate her because it became real to them at that point. So as I stated earlier, there's never an extra charge for that. That's part of the healing process. And at Anderson McQueen, that's what we're about. We are all about where the healing begins.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage families, please, if you do choose to come to us for these services, take advantage of that opportunity for yourself and for your family.
Yeah. So that's it's really interesting because it's already a couple different times that you've mentioned like how critical it really is to witness and sort of be more participatory almost in a sense, and that that if you don't do that, or you don't do that maybe sufficiently, that the grieving is going to be more difficult and more prolonged.
Exactly, prolonged.
Yeah.
And that's one of the neat things about the veterinary hospice, like with Lap of Love, with Dr. Danny McVitie, who's going to be speaking this weekend.
Right, and then past guest on the show, we love her.
Yes, yeah. Sir, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the neat things about that is that the families are becoming more involved in the care of their pet in the declining years. They're taking more of an active role. So with that, too, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You're caring for your pet, but you also may experience some anticipatory grief, because you know the pet's passing is coming, so you have that going along with the caretaking of the pet also.
And that raises an interesting question, especially because you do work with both, it sounds like from what you described earlier, both vets that just would be the family vet for that pet, but the pet parents have realized that pet's kind of unfortunately reached pretty close to the end of their life. So you kind of coordinate how that pet could come to the Rainbow Bridge Room, for example, and then you work with people like Danny McVitie. What do you ever have to get into at all the issue of, you know, you talk about these sort of anticipatory grief, but one thing I found from just friends and frankly grappling with myself a couple times is like, you know, that grayish area where you know the animal's not suffering, but you know the animal's very ill and sort of near the end. Do you kind of get into sort of, or do people seek your guidance even on where maybe it's really time to, if they are going to be euthanized, where that decision really kind of needs to be made?
Typically, that's a conversation they're having with their vet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't usually come to us with those type of questions.
Right. I just thought within cases where they're coming to bring them to the Rainbow Bridge Room, have they already kind of made the decision and it's pretty clear cut when the animal will be euthanized, or are they still grappling with that?
Oh, yes, sir. By the time they come to the Rainbow Bridge
Room. That's already been, Okay. So, because those things I think are just so, I mean, it's just so emotionally complex, obviously, with people that are that attached to their animals, and it gets, I guess, complicated to say, well, near as the vet knows and near as I know, the cat or dog or whoever isn't suffering, right, but they aren't gonna recover. So then there's that whole window of like when and how and under what circumstances, and people of course, they're that attached, they're reluctant to let go, right? So
yes.
All right, so again, this is Talking Animals, Duncan Stress. My guest is Nikki McQueen of Anderson McQueen Funeral Homes, who will be speaking on a forum this Saturday at Stetson College of Law in Tampa, tied to National Pet Memorial Day. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So here's a question. I've got some of our emails here. This one says, does your guest offer, well, they call it freeze drying, which I'm sure they probably mean a slightly different phrase than that, of pets as a service. I've seen this on television before, but do not know of anyone locally who offers this service.
We don't offer that ourselves. We did have a family just choose that process last month, and
what is the process actually called, as opposed to, I'm guessing
that's the term the family
is it really called?
Yes,
freeze drying.
Freeze
wow
drying.
Okay, sorry, I thought that was a little glib, but turns out I was wrong. Okay,
I guess I should have researched it since I was getting this question. But we did have a family choose that option last month. They did come back to us afterwards, I guess after the freeze drying provider did what they had to do. What was left, we then cremated for the family.
Okay, so
two-step process.
Yeah, so I guess maybe I don't fully understand this. So when they opt for freeze drying, what is the point if they're then going to be cremated? I guess I must have missed something there, or maybe I just don't get it.
I wasn't part of that process.
Yeah.
So what I am assuming or visualizing here, mm-hmm, is that maybe it was more like taxidermy.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of that, it looks like we might have a question that relates to that then came in by email. Well, you know, I mean, because you had mentioned that there was something that was comparable to that, so I figured that might... Okay, well, see, yeah, this says, just say pet taxidermy. She just breezed through that. How about a question about that? Like, so is, you know, how does that work when someone would opt for something comparable to that? I know that's obviously very much in the minority of services that you offer, or maybe you don't even offer that. Maybe that's just something that someone else would choose to do elsewhere.
Yeah, that would be a third-party provider.
Okay.
They find the provider on their own. We don't handle that.
Okay. All right. So let's say that people have come in, they've either gone to the Rainbow Bridge room that you've provided, or just otherwise they've had their pet cremated. obviously now there's tremendous grief, no matter how much time they've spent. And again, you kind of noted that with if it's more prolonged and serious, that it helps with the grieving process, helps maybe shorten it even. But in your experience, what are the chief ways people tend to grieve differently over the loss of a human as opposed to the loss of an animal?
Well, one thing we've noticed, and this may sound a bit awkward, but with the loss of an animal, the grief tends to be a lot stronger in the beginning, although over time, the grief period may be shorter. Whereas with a human, we have so much to do when one of our loved ones passes. They're, you know, making the funeral arrangements, gathering vital statistics, planning the services, having family fly in. We are so busy with tasks that the grief does not hit us as strongly right then until everyone leaves. So we find with the human family members, the grief is prolonged for a longer period of time. But with the pets, it's more pronounced up front, but a shorter period of time. Because with a pet, you go straight into your grieving process.
And do you, because this kind of hooks into one of our emailer questions, actually, saying, hi, is there grief counseling for pet owners? And it goes on to say, very happy to know that there are caring people providing these services. So how does that work at Anderson McQueen?
Well, there are professionals out there who are pet professional grief counselors. What we offer to our families, both human and pet families, is called Comfort Circle by Anderson McQueen. And we have this course. It's a 6-week course, one day a week. It's on Tuesdays. They have two different times, one in the afternoon and one at night. And then you'll have 6 weeks off, and we offer it once every quarter. It's open to our human families and it's open to our pet families. And we invite them to come in. And it's a structured course that they go through once a week.
Huh.
And we, both the pet families and the human families, love it. They've gained a lot from it. And I strongly encourage anyone, even if you've lost a pet and you did not come to us, if you are interested in this, please visit our website, AndersonMcQueen.com, go down to Pet Services, or go on to our schedule events coming up, and you can see when the next one's available, and please come join us.
Oh, that's nice. All right, well, let's take a call. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Nikki McQueen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't realize I actually dialed the number. I know I dialed it.
You absolutely did dial it, and you are on the air with Nikki McQueen on Talk Animals. A question or comment for Nikki?
Okay. I would like to ask Nikki, because I've worked in the so-called death care industry for many, many years, since I was 25, and I'm 53. I worked with a company that worked very closely with her family for many, many years. And so I'd like to ask her whether or not there is an option of perhaps doing something for the pets in a green cemetery environment, if that's anything that's on the horizon soon, because I know that Anderson McQueen is a very caring funeral home. I do know that very well. I've met all the family before, and I do know her husband, and even though he doesn't remember me, perhaps not, but I work for a very small family company in St. Petersburg, and I just was curious whether or not there was any option for a green cemetery for the pets. That is a cemetery where there is no cremation, there is no, you know, and you can just put them down, you know, just not, you know, they whatever you have to do, put them to sleep if you have to or whatever.
So, excuse me, just so I'm clear, are you talking about something closer to burial as opposed to...
Yes, a burial where
okay.
You wrap them in a quilt or something and can bury, if there's been any movement towards a green cemetery for pets.
Okay, well, thanks for your question. Nikki, go ahead.
Well,
okay,
thank you, ma'am.
Thank
you for calling in. We do not have a pet cemetery, so I don't have any options to offer for that. I know Curlew Hills has a pet cemetery, and there's another one. The name escapes me right now. I think it's off of like 86th Avenue and Pinellas Park area. I would check with those cemeteries and see if they do have a green burial section. There are a lot of products out there. For, you know, if you don't want a traditional casket, there are green caskets available. There's plenty of suppliers that offer those type of items. So if that cemetery has a section for that, they will have those options available to you. So I would contact them directly for those that information.
All right. Again, thank you for your call. A little bit more on the grieving part, because I know that's going to be a central part, I gather, of your discussion, the forum on Saturday. But how do you when it comes to the grieving, how do you help people, or at these sessions you mentioned, how do they help people who have friends or family members who may simply not understand how profoundly the loss of an animal can affect someone?
Sometimes when you're in these group settings, it's nice because you're sitting with other people who have experienced a large loss in their life, just as you have. And what's really neat about these sessions is both our human families and our pet families, they're all hurting, and no one looks down on the other like, you just lost a pet, I lost my child, or you just lost a pet, I lost my mother. They all understand that grief is grief. It doesn't matter whether it's a pet family member or a human family member, you're hurting. And they all come together and support one another. We have some dynamic people that go through this, and it's amazing how they continue on. After the class is done, they still meet with one another. One of the hardest things about losing a pet is that if someone is not a pet lover, they just feel like, it was only a dog, why don't you just go out and get another one? You can't. It's like you wouldn't say that about someone's child. So
right.
Why don't you say that about someone's pet?
Yeah, I do find that there's often a very big sort of gulf. Again, if someone's just not an animal person, it's like, yeah, you know, get over it, or what's wrong with you, or yeah, just go out and get another one and the next day and you'll be fine.
In our down here in Florida, we have a lot of seniors. And the seniors may have moved here from somewhere else. And if they've lost their spouse, they're alone. And oftentimes their family may be out of state. So the only companion they may have in their house is their pet, and that pet forces them to get up each day and feed it, which may remind the senior to eat. That pet gets them out for walks, which gets the senior exercising. So when a senior citizen loses their pet, their companion, they've really lost a vital part of their family. And I encourage others, when you have people or neighbors that maybe they are living alone and they had a pet and that pet died, don't let them be alone, because they really need you then. Get them out. Get them talking.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about their pet with them.
Yeah. Well, again, just maybe a little more compassion wouldn't be such a bad idea,
no, it
too.
Wouldn't.
So I think we, in a way, we're kind of like zeroing in on probably a little bit of the nature of the talk that you'll be giving. So first of all, let's just review more specifically that the forum is happening this Saturday, September 6th, at the Stetson College of Law Center in downtown Tampa, 1700 North Tampa Street. Which is three blocks north of the Straz Center. And it's going to get underway at 10 a.m. and the small discussion groups after. And it'll be yourself, Dr. Danny McVitie, who we mentioned, as well as Brock Leach. And ticket information can be found at emersonforum.tix.com. But maybe you could talk a little bit more about specifically what you'll be speaking on at the forum on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, Danny, Dr. McVitie, sorry, is going to be, she's the keynote speaker, and she's going to be speaking on what we can learn about life through the death of a pet, and which is pretty profound, because when people don't talk about death anymore, they want to avoid death, they just want to move forward, but there's a lot to be learned about life and enjoying your life when you do experience death. Then we're going to go into roundtables and more. I'm going to focus more on the similarities between the death of a loved one and the death of a pet family member.
Then afterwards, because also, if I'm not mistaken, I think people are encouraged that attend this to bring a picture and stories about their pets. So,
yes. So
how does that work? And then after each of the three speakers, including yourself, have given their talks, what happens in those roundtables, or what is likely to happen?
During those roundtables, then our guests will be able to actually bring up topics of interest to them, things we may not have touched upon, or maybe we touched upon it, but they want a little bit more information, share their stories of their pets, which is often therapeutic to go forward and do that.
Yeah. And have you participated in things like this before?
This is my first one with the Emerson Forum.
Right. But have been a part of any other sort of programs where people discuss this, or pet owners come to address kind of...
I've done more on the convention side than the actual pet owner side in this type of scenario. But the pet owners come in and talk to us in the funeral home.
Right.
But that's one-on-one.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think this will, again, as you kind of noted, I mean, it's just so important to have ways to sort of, as you would grieve, you know, any other important loss. And I'm sure the people that find themselves at this, and again, if they can bring a picture or, you know, tell a story about their pet, that probably just helps them feel better, especially if they recently lost a pet, I would think. So, okay, so again, this is Talking Animals. We're just in the final moments of speaking with Nikki McQueen of Anderson McQueen Funeral Homes, who again will be speaking about some of these very topics that we've been talking about today on the show at this forum this Saturday in Tampa at Stetson College of Law. And that's all hooked, by the way, as I mentioned once or twice, but just should mention it again, to National Pet Memorial Day, which is Sunday. If you have any final question or comment, we're at 813-239-9663, or emailing dj at wmnf.com. www.thepetpassageplan.org. So now I saw there was one kind of very odd thing that you may or may not even want to respond to, but one of our emailers wrote in saying pet passages, and of course the S's there are dollar signs, some other thing, no additional charge, and then it says something like making a buck by extending pet owner's grief, which seems pretty harsh, but I don't know if you kind of want to respond to the notion of, you know, what you're offering people as opposed to a person who may have some sort of beef, seems to be suggesting.
Well, that's their personal opinion.
Right.
We have a service we offer for the families.
Yeah.
As I stated, that's for the cremation,
mm-hmm.
the Rainbow Bridge Room, the Comfort Circle. There's no charge for any of that.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, Nikki, anything else that we should know or think about just in this general area with National Pet Memorial Day coming up on Sunday that we haven't addressed in our conversation that would be important for people to be aware of or just think about?
I encourage you, if you have an interest, to come on out on Saturday and join us. I think it's going to be a great, great forum, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Great. Okay, and one more time, that's this Saturday, September 6th at Stetson College of Law Center in downtown Tampa. It's 1700 North Tampa Street. It gets underway at 10 a.m., and then after each of those three talks, there'll be small group discussions. And again, Danny McVitie will be the keynote speaker. Veterinarian has a hospice practice that we spoke with her on Talking Animals a while back, Nikki McQueen, who's here, and Brock Leach as well. So if you're interested in finding out more or getting tickets, the website for that or the link is emersonforum.tix.com. And I guess this is actually second in a series of sort of end-of-life care issues from the Emerson Forum. So it's kind of an interesting series there. So, Nikki, thank you so much. Again,
my
Anderson
pleasure.
McQueen, the website for them is andersonmcqueen.com, plus specifically for some of the areas we're talking about, there's petpassages.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, right. Sir. And on that site, your listeners are welcome to upload pictures of their pets that they've lost and write stories. I think it can take up to 5 pictures. A lot of families find that therapeutic to go on there and do that.
Nice. Okay, so thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us today on Talking Animals, and we look forward to Saturday's forum. So.
Thank you, Duncan.
All right, thank you. In just a few minutes, we'll speak with Matt Ellerbeck about a pressing situation with some salamander species facing a plight and what we can do to help with that. So right now, though, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Mitch Hedberg with part of a piece called Headless Horseman on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I like when they say a movie's inspired by a true story, because that's weird. It means the movie's not a true story. It was just inspired by a true story. Hey, Mitch, did you hear the story about the lady who drove her children into the river and they all drowned? Yes, I did. And that inspired me to write a movie about a gorilla. If I was a headless horseman's horse, I would f*** with that dude. Yeah, we're going that way. We're not headed towards the hay. Imagine if the headless horseman had a headless horse. That would be chaos. We need a head. Now, is a hippopotamus a hippopotamus or a really cool apotamus? I'm sick of seeing squirrels on water skis. Better get off the water sports, dude. Winter is approaching.
All right. That was the late, great Mitch Hedberg with part of a piece called Headless Horseman, taken from his CD, Do You Believe in Gosh? All right, to fill us in about a sort of urgent matter affecting some salamander species and what we can all do to help, let's welcome Matt Ellerbeck back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us again on Talking Animals. How's it going?
Very good, and thank you so much for having me. It's greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. So as I've kind of mentioned leading up to our chat here, that you know, it sounds like we have a chance to do basically a good deed for some salamanders. Maybe give us a big, quick bit of a backstory about that.
Yes. So the Fish and Wildlife Service has reopened a 30-day public comment period in regard to the Georgetown salamander and the Salado salamander receiving protection under the Endangered Species Act. And the deadline for comments from the public is September 19th. Now, I'm urging anyone who cares about animals or wildlife or the environment to please take a moment to write in to the Fish and Wildlife Service and urge them to give these salamander species protection under the Federal Endangered Species Act. And that being said, the world's foremost authority on the conservation statuses of species, the International Union for Conservation of Nature, has designated the Georgetown salamander as endangered and the Salado salamander as vulnerable. So it's paramount that these species do receive protection. And half of all the salamander species in the world are unfortunately at risk of extinction. So as a whole, they're a very endangered animal group, and two species in the United States found in Texas have a chance to receive some protection that can really help them. And so the public has a wonderful opportunity to get involved and speak up for these animals.
Wow. Okay. So basically, Matt, is the simplest way, is there a direct email, or is it through the link, or what is the best way for people to proceed that would like to help out?
The best way they can help is, I've made it really easy. You can go to savethesalamanders.com, and right on the front page there, you'll see the information there. It says, help salamanders get protection under the Endangered Species Act. And again, it outlines the issue, and there's a link right there to Fish and Wildlife Service, and there's a form that they can submit their comments that way, or if they would like to write in letters, the address is on there as well. So I've made it really easy. People just have to log on to the one thing, and all the information is there for them.
Well, that's really great. And Matt, what is your sense of, you know, sort of how those comments are weighted, or how many comments, for example, might be the kind of thing that really sort of helps sway them when as they're reviewing the comments?
Well, obviously, the more the better. I heard somewhere a long time ago, I was talking to someone about, you know, the politics of conservation and the processes and so forth and so on. And they said, though, that one letter often represents, you know, 100, even to 1,000 people. You know, it represents a greater number of people when they get that. So really, everyone that writes in, it really does matter. And I don't want people to get complacent. I really want them to take a couple minutes to help these animals out. And that being said, it's really important that people do, because salamanders are not an animal that have a tremendous amount of advocates or allies. And a lot of people would question, you know, why do they even matter? So those people that do care, it's really, really important that they get involved, and they can do so with, you know, just taking 2 minutes out of their day.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you might be the only salamander advocate that I know of. I'm sure there's others out there, but yeah, it's as you say. I mean, it's very easy to sort of overlook their plight. But I mean, as we talked about at greater length when you were on the show last time, there's all kinds of issues, habitat and other stuff that is really threatening a number of salamander species, and so anything that could help get them protected under the Endangered Species Act is going to keep them around and allow them to hopefully flourish.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that the opposition to, you know, these issues, like people who oppose, you know, certain conservation initiatives and environmental initiatives, are very, very vocal about getting their voices heard. So, well, it's very important that those who do care make their voices heard as well, so it doesn't, you know, the people who are looking at it, it doesn't create sort of a skew.
Right, but you know, that actually raises an interesting question. I mean, why would someone, in this case at least, you know, why would they be opposed to anything that could protect a species that was threatened and was vanishing when it comes to something like salamanders? What is the thinking on the other side, if there apparently is another side?
It always goes back to money, of course, and one of the things that they're looking to do is, if the salamanders do get protected, they're going to be setting some crucial habitat aside for them, which is, you know, absolutely important to their survival. And of course, people who are looking at those areas for development and economic growth are very opposed to it and argue, you know, that the animals don't need protection and that, you know, stewardship alone will, you know, will be able to oversee that the species continues to exist and so forth and so on. So the opposition is very quick to point out that, downplay the issue, and of course, it always goes back to money, as it often does. So there is, and there has been many politicians in Texas that have been very vocal about the salamander shouldn't get protection and, you know, it will ruin the economy and so forth and so on, and have been very, very vocal about trying to stop this from happening. So that's
wow.
why I think it's really important for people that do care to get their voices heard. So when Fish and Wildlife goes to make their decision, they don't hear an overwhelming amount of opposition.
Right.
It might just be, you know, they're the ones, the voices that are speaking the loudest. So it's important that everyone gets their voices heard.
And Matt, I assume that if someone were to take a moment and write, that really it wouldn't have to be a lengthy note. It's just more like a couple of 2-3 sentences saying, hey, really hope you'll consider this. Here's why. And it's really important. And I mean, that's probably the gist of it, right?
Absolutely. And the big thing is that as U.S. citizens, to write into your federal Fish and Wildlife Service and let them know, as a citizen of the U.S., this does matter to you and you are for this protection.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, to do so, you can go to SaveTheSalamanders.com, and then Matt has made it very simple from there to proceed to how you could write directly to the Fish and Wildlife Service about getting these salamanders protection under the Endangered Species Act. So Matt, thanks again one more time for joining us on Talking Animals, and let's hope everybody takes a moment. And again, the cutoff point is September 19th, so we have 2 weeks, but let's not cut it close. Why don't you do it right now? As we're talking about it, write your email if you're near a computer right now. So, all right, Matt, well, thanks so much, and we'll speak to you again, I'm sure, about some salamander issue or another.
All right, thank you so much. It really means worlds to me.
All right, thanks, Matt. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. Towards the end of the show, we'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive the debut CD by Wild Flag. Carrie Brownstein's Post Leader Kenny Band. We didn't give that CD away last week, so we have it to offer this week. We'll do that in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements. And just sort of a bigger heads up, just want to let you know, if you didn't already, that the 4th Annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest, the Tampa Bay area's only vegetarian vegan festival, makes its return Saturday, October 19th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It'll take place, once again, at Cotinchobe Fort Brook Park. And it's going to feature local restaurants with vegetarian and vegan food, live music, fun, and cool things for kids, healthy living and eco-friendly exhibitors, info on local nonprofits, animal adoptions, cooking demonstrations, films, and a well-known national and local guest speakers, including Jane Velez Mitchell, past guest on Talking Animals, Dr. Neil Bernard, founder of PCRM, also a past guest on Talking Animals, Dr. Milton Mills, Ellen Jaffe Jones, wrote that book, Eat Vegan $4 a Day, or something. Sorry, I don't have the title in front of me. And again, some really great films, including one that we showed here through WMNF, Veducated, but others include The Paw Project, which I'm really excited about. A great, great film that we've talked about on the show here with Dr. Jennifer Conrad from The Paw Project, and sort of the center of that film, and others as well. So just go to TampaBayVegFest.org, I think it is, might be .com, sorry, I don't have the website in front of me, I'm just sort of doing this off the fly, but very easy to search for, just Google it, Tampa Bay Veg Fest, but again, it's October 19th. More imminently, there is a Pinellas County Commission workshop on TNR and MSN on Tuesday, September 10th, a week from yesterday, from 1 to 5 p.m. at 315 Court Street, 5th floor, and Clearwater. Any of those who care about reducing the community cat overpopulation in Pinellas County, thereby decreasing the killing of these cats in Pinellas County Animal Service at taxpayers' expense, should turn up. So that's happening again next Tuesday, September 10th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at 315 Court Street, the 5th floor of that building in Clearwater. And this Saturday, there's a Gala of the Angels benefiting the Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. They are training and providing service dogs for veterans suffering from PTSD and other struggles. So that'll be this Saturday, September 7th, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel, 211 North Tampa Street. Be dinner and dancing and all kinds of cool things. And you can find out more about that at medicalservicedogs.com, medicalservicedogs.com. and again raising funds for that program. Also want to let you know that Pasco County Animal Services has a great opportunity for us, for you to adopt animals for unbelievably reasonable cost. I can't get into the cost. We accidentally already did get into some costs earlier in the show, which I apologize for. Until the end of September, incredibly low adoption rates for cats and dogs who come spayed, neutered, with shots, microchipped, ready to go. So that's through September. More information about that at PascoCountyFL.net. Senior Pet Connection is seeking a volunteer coordinator for and also someone to help write grants. So this is an all-volunteer organization, and you can call Gina Shields, founder of SPC, at 727-826-0559 or email her at info@seniorpetconnection.org. If you can help coordinate volunteers or help them with some writing of grants. Mentioned this before, but kind of interesting thing underway here in Georgia as well. Owners of dogs with cancer are being urged to take part in a study of a new treatment that offers hope, veterinarians and dog owners in Florida and Georgia who believe their dogs could qualify for the free cancer study should visit www.petcancercare.com. Treatments manage cancer in dogs with no side effects. Again, petcancercare.com for more information on that. And meant to get to this last week, this came from the AP, but certainly has kind of a local element or two. Some 150 Mustangs that have been set to be auctioned off for possible slaughter after the removal from the range in Nevada have been granted a reprieve with financial backing from Florida horse lover Victoria McCullough. Activists acquired the animals recently, very reasonable price, from the Fort McDermott Shoshone tribe in northern Nevada. Plans call for the horses to be split up among advocacy groups and end up at homes in Nevada and California. McCullough, chairwoman of the Chesapeake Petroleum Board, rescues horses through her Wellington, Florida-based Triumph Project. So, well done, Victoria McCullough. Thank you so much. All right, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Animal News and Announcements. Let's do a Name That Animal tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WNF member to win. There'll be a prize, the debut CD by Wild Flag, the band led by Harry Brownstein of Sleater-Kinney and Portlandia fame, to the first person who calls in the correct title of this animal song to 813-239-9663. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. All right, if someone can name that animal tune, we'll maybe take that off the air, depending on how our time is, because we're going to do the final song a little early, just to make sure we get it all in. And today's final animal song is an unreleased song by Neil Finn, written in honor of the family dog Lester, who at that point had just passed away. It turns out when he was a much younger dog, Lester was hit by a car and sustained some pretty serious injuries. The Finns didn't think Lester would survive, but he did, going on to enjoy a long, happy life until he passed away as a much older dog. So I've long adored Neil Finn. If you've ever liked Split Ends, Crowded House, or his other work, you do too. But this sweet elegy for Lester made me love him more and seemed really highly relevant to this morning's conversation with Nicky McQueen. So listen to the very last second, all the way through. In that second, Neil may say it all here. So this is Neil Finn with Lester on Talking Animals.
Flashing past in the eyes of a faithful friend. Four legs, four life, and the screeching tires never seem to end. I will change if Lester lives, not messing round just 'cause I own him. He was nearly wiped away, but he had good luck and strong bones inside and behind him. You me clench my teeth. Us humans ain't got much dignity. Eat my plants and steal my things. But you're the head of security. I will change if Lester lives. Not messing round just 'cause I own him. He was nearly wiped away, but he had good luck and strong bones inside and behind him. I will change if Lester lives. Not messing round just 'cause I own him. He was nearly wiped away, but he had good luck and strong bones inside and behind him.
It's that sniff at the end. It's WMNF Tampa Talking Animals. Next week, our guest will be Jill Rappaport, the Today Show correspondent, who's been there for many, many years, but in recent years, we'll see reporting animal welfare and pet stories. TalkingAnimals.net for all your other info needs, etc. NPR News right now. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you next Wednesday on Talking Animals.